had given me, and pray that it'll be a blessing. You know, thank God in Christ we're never alone. Thank God if your physical family's gone, you still have a spiritual family. Amen. And that's the family of God, the people of God. So Romans chapter number 13, and say amen when you found it. We'll know you're there. Amen. Romans 13, and notice what it says in verse number 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Boy, isn't that a great thought? Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That's the second great commandment, to love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing that the time, that now it's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chamberness and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We'll take our text out of verse 11, that first phrase, where he said, and that knowing the time. And that knowing the time. That's what I'm going to preach on tonight, knowing the time. Knowing what time it is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word, and I do pray that you'd bless it and bless this passage as we look at these things that are so important. Lord, for the Christian, for the child of God, for the family of God, help me to bring the word and to be filled with your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we know when it comes to what Paul was saying to the believers there in Rome, he's reminding them and cautioning them and telling them, hey, to redeem the time. He says that knowing the time, that it's now high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. How much more is that in the day in which we live? We're at the ebb of Jesus Christ coming back. We're at the ebb of the revealing of the Antichrist. We're at the ebb of Armageddon. We're at the ebb of the world crisis. We're at the ebb of the Great Tribulation. How much more important is to know the time? Amen. To know what time it was. And Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works that have sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Amen. You got to know what time it is. You got to know the time. And we know that the hour is late. And there are some things we need to do as a country, as a community, as a church, and as a Christian. There's no doubt about that. And when the Bible says it's high time, what it really means is it's past time. Could we not say that tonight? I mean, it's past time that we do some things. It's past time. No, is it high time? It's past time because time's running out. It's nearer than we think. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are caught off guard one day because they always said, one day I'm going to do that. And it's going to be too late. Too late. What did Jesus say when they began to knock at the door? I don't know. It's too late. It's too late. And so it's knowing the time that it's high time, knowing the time that it's past time to do some things. And we need to know that. We need to know when it comes to the time that there's some things we need to do. And I got a few little thoughts here tonight, and nothing real deep. And you know that none of my preaching is real deep. I say a few little thoughts. I got seven little thoughts. But good thing I preach fast. My Yankee training did a little something for me. We just got to tune our southern ears to hear it. All right. You know, when it comes to knowing the time, you know, the first thing we got to know when it comes to the time is we got to know when it's time to confess up. Confess up. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about confession, believe that or not. We think that's a Catholic term. That is not a Catholic term. Confession is a Bible term. And when you confess, you know what you're doing? You are coming clean in your life. And the Bible has a lot to say about coming clean. The Bible has a lot to say about confessing. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, when God was speaking to the nation of Israel, and he said, listen, when I'm judging you as a nation, and everything's going wrong, and everything's falling apart, he said, listen, it's time to confess up. It's time to confess up. 2 Chronicles 7:14, verse 12, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Can I tell you, it's high time that we as America start confessing up. Confessing up. Making some things right. You know, it's past time for repentance. The Bible says, nay, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Our nation needs repentance so badly in the day in which we live. And that is admitting you're wrong and turning from your sin. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. People wonder why they can never find mercy. Because if you don't come clean, you don't get mercy. Nobody likes to be lied to. Can I tell you, a police officer will have mercy if you tell the truth. The judge will have mercy if you tell the truth. Your employer will have mercy if they tell the truth. Your husband and wife, your sons and your daughter, your family will have mercy if what? You tell the truth. You got to confess. Confess up. And can I tell you, you got to know what time it is. It's time to confess up. It's time to come clean. It's time to be shoot straight. This nation can't shoot straight if their life depended on it. And that's why the apologies are also always so lame. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Again, people say, well, if I've done anything wrong, are you kidding me? It's high time to admit that you've done a lot of things wrong. It's past time to admit, hey, that you're not the kind of Christian you think you are. You know, when I'm confessing to God, I'm ashamed of the kind of Christian I am. I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And come and clean. And it's past time to be honest with God. It's high time. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgives us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, it's time to confess up. Remember in Joshua 7:14, when Achan had sinned, he had taken the Babylonian garment, the wedge of gold, and the silver. And Joshua comes to him, this is what he says. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Tell me now what thou hast done, and hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw the spoils of goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Hey, you know, there's sometimes you've got to have some public confession. You know what you do publicly? You need to confess publicly. Hey, you sin publicly, it wouldn't hurt you to confess publicly. Hey, I've sinned, I've done wrong. And not this fake stuff. Well, you're genuinely sorry. Not that you got caught, but you're sorry that you did it. In Ezra chapter number 10, when the people had taken strange wives after God had allowed, God had brought them back into the land, and God had had mercy upon them, and in his mercy, after they had returned, the people are doing the exact same thing they did the first time that got them in trouble. And Ezra, he's so upset, he plucks off his beard, he rips his clothes off, he screams aloud, he sits in sackcloth and ashes, and he cannot believe that the people have sinned so horribly again. And when the people see hear his proclamation and hear what he says, they gather them together. And in Ezra chapter 10 and verse number 9, then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together in Jerusalem within 3 days. And it was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. Can you imagine if all of Chattanooga got together and trembled because of their sin? Man, we live in a day when people are proud of their sin. What do you think gay pride is? They're proud of their sin. They're proud that they're deviants. They're proud that they're God haters. And Aaron the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and to his and do his pleasure. Separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. I worked with a lady one time, and Dr. Charles Keene had preached the funeral of a close friend of hers. close friend of hers had died. Her family were Christian people. And they asked Dr. Charles Keene to preach the funeral. And he did. And he didn't pull any punches. He didn't soften any blows. At that time they had a church of 2,000 people, and there were a couple thousand people at the funeral. And he said, "This departed loved one has gone straight to hell because they weren't saved." Now, boy, you talk about the hard truth. I mean, hats off to him for having the courage to say it. Oh my gosh, that lady I work with, he said, "If you're here today and you're a sinner and you want me to pray for you," she said, "I shot my hand up. I want him to know I'm a sinner going to hell." That's what she told me at work. She was proud of it. She won't be proud when she gets there. See, people are proud of their sin today. "I'm proud that I have 5 wives." Right? My sister's wives. I've never seen one second of it. But I've heard talk about the show. You know? "I'm proud that I'm a fornicator. I'm proud that I'm an adulterer. I'm proud I'm a drunk. I'm proud I'm a drug addict." That ain't nothing to be proud about. Amen. But see, hey, it's time to confess up. And public confession is necessary. Personal confession is necessary. In 2 Chronicles 30:22, Hezekiah is making a personal confession to the people. "And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord." Again, the Levites, he gathered them together. "And that did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers." Hey, we need to have some confession. We always say confession is good for the soul. Hey, I confess sometimes. One year I said, "Hey, man, I'm sorry. I've been such a donkey all this year to my family." And that's not the word I used. But we were in the house and it was private. And I said, "I'm sorry that I've been acting that way." And the grandkids, their eyes got real big in their jaw. I said, "I'm sorry. That's not how Paul's supposed to act." I made confession to my family. Hey, it wouldn't hurt you to confess every now and then that you're wrong. You know, and that you've done some things you shouldn't have done. And be specific. Not if I've done anything wrong. Because you have. Confession is good. They made confession for 7 days. They had a lot to confess. I suspect we all do. Right? In Daniel chapter 9, verse number 4, Daniel made private confession. He said, "I prayed unto the Lord God and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." He made confession. You read the whole account of his prayer. He was saying, "God, I'm sorry for my sin. And my sin has got us where we are today." You know, there can never be cleansing without confession. There never can be cleansing without confession. That's why the Bible says in the prayer of salvation, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth and the righteous, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Amen. You know when I got to say this to God? "Please forgive me. I'm a horrible sinner. I deserve to go to hell, and I don't want to go to hell. Please come into my heart and be my Savior." You say, what is that? That's confession. Can I tell you, it's past time to confess up. He said, now it's high time. It's not time, it's high time. And knowing the time, that now it's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You know, now's the best time to be right with God. I'm telling you, it is. And we're going to need to be near to God when things begin to fall apart in this nation. Because you can rest assured they're going to fall apart. We need to confess up. You know what else we need to do? We need to buddy up. You know, we need church family more now than we've ever needed them. And church attendance is the lowest in America that it's ever been. And we need each other more now than ever before. It's not just high time, it's past time to buddy up. That's why Hebrews chapter number 10, we know what it says, and we read these verses all the time to encourage people to come and be in the house of God. But Hebrews 10, 23, let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now listen, we don't need less church. We need more church. Amen. We need more church. We need more buddying up than we've ever needed before in our life. Solomon knew that. The wisest man that ever lived, he records in the book of Ecclesiastes how important fellowship is, how important it is to have family, how important it is to have a union and a bond with one another. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse number 9, he says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up a fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Can I tell you? You know what saved Brother Paul's life? His church attendance. Because we knew that he never missed services. Paul don't miss services. He comes every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday. And if he's not here, something's wrong. And he calls me and tells me that he's not going to be here. So when he missed Sunday and Wednesday and the following Sunday, we knew something was horribly wrong. And we went and knocked on the door and we got inside. And he'd have died if it had been one more day. You know what saved his life? Church attendance. It wouldn't hurt you when you're not going to be here. Say, preacher, I'm not going to be there. You know why? Because then when you missed a service or two services, we'd know something was wrong. It might save your life. We might make one of those well checks. Hey, we called the phone. No answer on the phone. We called the phone over and over and said, Doug, something's wrong. We got to get over there. See what's going on. Head on over there. Doug knocked on the door. No one came to the door. He said, hey, something's really wrong. I'll be right there. You say what? Because buddying up is important. And making yourself accountable is important. And we're going to need that more than ever. More than ever. When Miss Gladys fell down, she laid on the floor for 3 or 4 days before her son found her. You say, why didn't we do the well check? Because she had gotten to the point where she wasn't faithful. Right? And there was no phone call saying, hey, I'm not going to make that. I would call her. She said, no, I'm not feeling good. I'm not going to come. But again, you understand what I'm saying? We'd have done that well check if she'd have been faithful. Because we had said something's wrong. And we'd have got to her sooner. Hey, buddying up is important. And can I tell you, we're going to need each other. I'm telling you, we're going to need each other more than we ever had. You know, Solomon was, hey, two are better than one, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And neglecting the fellowship is not what we need to be doing. Putting your light under a bushel is not what we need to be doing. And starving your soul spiritually is not what we need to be doing. We need to buddy up, provoke one another, provide for one another, protect one another, promote one another. You know why the church in Jerusalem was so powerful? Because on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2, they were all in one accord. The church was moving as one. And it was so powerful. You say, why isn't the church powerful? Because the church is like the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 37. They were dead, dry, and divided. You can't get a bunch of Christians together to do anything together. Can you imagine if the Church of Jesus Christ came together in America? We wouldn't have abortion. We wouldn't have all this nonsense that we're having. Amen. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 1. Notice what it says. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Look in verse number 46. Verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know why the church was so powerful at one time? Because the church all came together. And there was communion. And there was power in the church. Philippians chapter number 2. When the church came together, the goal was the same for everyone in the church. He said, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. You know how they built the pyramids of Egypt? Because they got a million people pulling on one stone. You'd be surprised what you can do. If I was over two or three gathered my name, I'd be in the midst. Can you imagine if the church really got together and meant business? Remember when Sister Judy's son was healed of that cancer and God took it away? And we prayed at this altar and begged God to take it away? And God took it away. He absolutely had terminal cancer, brain cancer, inoperable. He was already on the treatments. And he went back in for another scan, and the doctor said, I don't have to tell you, it was there, and it's not there anymore. That's what happens when the church is in one accord. That's what happens when we buddy up. That's what happens when we bear one another's burdens. That's what happens when we're in agreement one with another. We've seen God bring people back to life. And it was absolutely God who did it. You see, it's not just time to buddy up, it's high time to buddy up. It's past time to confess up and to buddy up, to be in agreement. It's high time to give up. You say, what in the world does that mean, run up the white flag of surrender? Davy Wilson will be here at the end of the month. I'll be here beginning of the month of March, and his wife Mary will be with him. They're going to come and spend a few days here, going to come to church. He said, I love coming to church here. You preach. He's watched it a few times. And Miss Mary said, oh, yeah, of course, Dave tells all the stories that he tells, right? And all of our stories are a little slanted in our favor. Dave introduced me one time to one of his girlfriends. He says, hey, this is the guy who used to beat the living daylights out of me every day. And I said, I didn't beat you up every day. It wasn't that bad. I said, yeah, I gave you a fat lip and a bloody nose, and I may have knocked a tooth out a couple of times. And I said, but come on, it wasn't every day. You know, you got a few in on me too. Right? Friends, right? We're best of friends. I'm serious. When I have to answer security questions, who was your best friend when you were growing up? Davy Wilson. We were best friends. We still are. But it's funny, we tell our stories. Dave got saved off of reading that gospel tract that I got saved off, How to Get to Heaven from Your House. And I told Dave what I did. He said, what happened to you? And I told him what I did. I got saved. Read that little gospel tract. I said, Dave, if you'll read this tract and go in your room and do what this tract says, you can be saved too. He did. He went right in the house. He went into his closet. He read that gospel tract and he asked Jesus. It was How to Get to Heaven from Your House was the name of it. And he asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart. And he got saved. He started coming to Blue Ash Baptist Church. And we were hoping that Dave would get baptized and join the church. Don't you want everybody to get baptized and join the church? Well, you do. You do. And he was coming. And it was on a Sunday night. And the service had the invitation. Them invitations were convicting. I'm telling you, they were convicting. And the invitation began to play. And Dave was sitting there. And he said, all right, I give up. And he threw the book in the song book in the pew, and he went forward and he told the pastor that he wanted to join the church and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You know what surrender is? I give up. He said, I'm going to give up and follow Jesus. Now, he got lost along the way somewhere in there, but he found his way back. That's the important thing. Right? They're members of the church. They go. But the idea of giving up, surrender, Hey, take up your cross daily and what? Follow me. Hey, that's what surrender is. And remembering, listen, that, hey, we have been bought with a price. We've been bought with a price. Hey, God purchased us and he bought us. And what does he want us to do? Surrender to do the will of God. Give up. Realize that ownership is God's. Who owns you? Who do you belong to? You belong to Jesus Christ. You ever seen that dog that just won't obey? It knows you're the master, but it just won't obey. Can I tell you, that's a worthless dog. If you got to chase the dog, but that dog that you snap your fingers and it comes and sits right by your side, you say, what has that dog done? That dog has surrendered to your leadership. You know all God wants us to do is surrender to his leadership. And when we surrender to God's leadership, God takes care of the rest of it. Hey, as long as I'm doing what God's telling me to do, everything else is going to be okay. Because I can look to God and say, I did what you told me. That's the most important thing. You know, we owe a debt to God. Paul said, I'm a debtor. God doesn't owe us, we owe him. And you know what? We owe it to ourselves to be true to God. It's high time. It's past time to give up, surrender. It's past time to pray up. We know 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch unto the same with thanksgiving. Matthew 18:20, the Bible says, where two or three gather my name, I'll be in the midst. Hey, Luke 18, the problem, when Christ said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? The problem is, hey, what's the worst attended service of the Holy Week? Prayer night. And what's worse than that? To have a prayer meeting. It's high time that we get together and pray. It's past time that we learn to pray. Hey, very clear. Very clear. Confess up, buddy up, give up, pray up, look up. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? You know the problem with so many people, they're always looking down. That ain't where you're not going to find answers looking at your feet. You're not going to find answers looking in this world. Can I tell you? We're going to have to look to another world to find some answers. Amen. And it's high time that we look up. It's high time. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 21, verse number 28? Luke 21 and verse 28, he said this. Let me get to the spot. Luke 21:28. And he says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Can I tell you? It's high time that we look up. We got to look to the heavens. He said, look to the heavens, all ye ends of the earth. Look to the heavens. Look unto me. Look to God. Can I tell you, God's the only one who can solve your problems. He said, I want the preacher to solve my problems. Good luck with that. I mean, I can't solve my own. How am I going to solve yours? He said, Brother Chris, what do? I'm looking to God. Can I tell you, my problems are a whole lot bigger than what I am. I mean, I can't even lift my problems up, right? Man, I can't even bend over sometimes to lift my problems up. I said, God, man, I need you so desperately in my life. I'm shocked by the people who think the government's going to rescue them. Did the government rescue the people of Texas? Have the government rescued the people in the riots out in Seattle and Portland and all these different places? Matter of fact, they dialed 911 and they said, sorry, we ain't coming. You better be down the number of heaven. And it's past time to be calling upon God. We need to be looking up. As I said, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. We got to be looking up. I think we should be singing up. Amen. Hey, We ought to be lifting up our voices unto God. We ought to be making a joyful noise. We ought to be singing His praises. Amen. It's funny, people want to sing the praises of Donald Trump. They want to sing the praises of Joe Biden. They want to sing the praises, but they're not ready to sing the praises of Jesus Christ. The only person I want to sing the praises to is Jesus Christ. Because everyone else are just men. They're just people. They're sinners like you and I. I don't want people singing my praises. Let's sing the praises of Jesus Christ. Does the Bible say that? I think it does. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, Paul writes to the believers in Ephesus, and he says, notice what he says. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not against giving people credit. Hey, listen. There's some men out there that have done some great things for this country. Go ahead, Brother Jim. What were you going to say? Right. And that we do submit ourselves one another in the what? Fear of God. And that is, hey, when it comes to this kind of stuff, hey, whose praises are we going to sing? We're going to sing God's praises. And see, we live in a day of man worship, do we not? You know, superheroes, sports figures, you know, and movie stars. Where is Jesus Christ fit in all this? On my security questions, it says, who was your childhood hero? My answer is always Jesus. Who's your hero? It's Jesus. He's my hero. If I want to be like anyone, who I want to be like? I want to be like Jesus. Amen. I want to sing His praises. Anyone tells me, he said, Brother Chris, that was great. I say, praise the Lord. We're going to sing Jesus' praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sing Jesus' praise. Hey, we need to be lifting up our voices. And then lastly, I was hoping I'd get done. It's high time. It's past time. We need to know it's time to speak up. Stand up. Lift up our voice like a trumpet for what is right. Look in Isaiah 43. Book of Isaiah. And I believe Christians need to speak up. I don't think we need to get a camera and take pictures of things and video things. I think we need to stand up and speak the truth in love and say what needs to be said at that moment and that hour and that time that God gives us. Isaiah 43 and verse number 8, notice what he says there. And bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears, and let all the nations be gathered together. And let the people be assembled among whom them can declare this and show us the former things. And let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. What does God want us to do? Testify. Be a witness. Isaiah 58, verse number 1. Isaiah 58, number 1, notice what it says. He says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. A lady told me one time, he says, Pastor, and this is in Cincinnati, you preach so loud, you give me a headache. I said, well, glory to God. At least I fulfilled Isaiah 58, verse number 1. Lift up your voice like a trumpet, amen. One guy, it was so funny. We had two guys coming to church. One guy said my preaching gave him a headache. It was so loud. So I said, move to the back. The other guy said, I can't hear a word you're saying. And I said, well, move to the front. You can't win. One guy can't hear you. One guy says he's giving him a headache. And they both left the church. I'm thinking, I preach for Brother Vic, and the one sister, she says, you know, Brother Chris, I love your preaching, but I just can't stand the sound of your voice. I won't be coming to the services. Bless your soul, dear sister. You say, that hurt your feelings? That hurt my feelings. She didn't invite me to preach. Brother Vic did. I didn't hurt my feelings. I learned a long time ago, you can't make anybody happy. You can't make anybody happy. Now, in my small little mind, I would have never had the audacity to tell a preacher that. Right? I mean, if I had to wear earmuffs and earplugs to make it tolerable, I would. Right? And if I couldn't hear, I'd get a hearing aid. People don't know. Sometimes. People don't know what time it is. They don't know that it's past time. If they knew what time it was, this church would be filled with people. They don't know what time it is. They don't know what's happening. They can't see that judgment's on the horizon. I told the grandkids, you better... I did something stupid today. I took a transmission out in between services. Oh, man. And I come in and I was all beat up. And Caleb says, I don't ever want to take cars apart. And I said, well, Caleb, you're going to have to learn how to be tough, because there's some days coming that you're going to have to be tough. There's some days coming we're all going to have to be tough. And it's going to come a whole lot sooner than we think. And when the water's not on, and the electricity's not on, and all the comforts of our life are gone, I'm telling you, it's coming. I don't think it's all going to come at once. I think we're going to have test periods, like what happened in Texas. And we're going to find out that things are not as solid as we thought they were. Our whole electric grid hangs on a thread every day, and nobody knows it, except the people who run it. The only reason what happened in Texas didn't affect the rest of us, because they're on a separate grid of their own. If the eastern United States goes out, it overloads southeastern, Central America, and then Western America, and we're all in the dark. You know why it wouldn't come on in Texas? Because nobody was willing to turn anything off. And every time it reset, everybody had their heat on and their lights on, and everything was running in their house. So when it tried to reset and reboot, it couldn't start. Because that's how selfish Americans are. I'm not turning my lights off. I'm not turning my heat off. I'm not turning anything off in my house. And when everyone does that, the system can't reboot. And nobody has anything. Oh, it's past time. It's past time to look unto Jesus Christ. It's past time. What'd he say? What'd he say? Romans chapter number 14, 13. He said, it's high time. It's high time to look unto Jesus. Hey, we got to know the time that it's high time. You say, why? So it won't take you by surprise. No one ever thought all of Texas could go out. But it did. Don't let it take you by surprise. When they bust in the back door one day and arrest people, don't let it take you by surprise. One day when they come by your house and tell you, put you in the car and say, you need reprogramming, don't let it take you by surprise. One day when things change in this nation, and they are changing, don't let it take you by surprise. Because it's happening whether you like it or not. And that's when we're going to need, you better buddy up. You better confess up. You better pray up. You better look up. Hey, we better be doing all these things. So we know the time. And knowing the time, that it's high time. Past time. Let's stand for prayer. Miss Susan's going to come. She's going to play something. You say, what's the moral of the story here? Get as close to God as you can get. And walk with Him. So when the day comes, you'll know what to do. Seek the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? He'll tell you what to do. And then it won't be such a surprise when it comes. Because I promise you, it's coming. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I thank you for the word tonight. And I do pray that you'd bless it. And God, we do need each other, and we do need you, and we do need to come clean. And God, we need to be honest Christians. Honest with you, and honest with ourselves, and honest with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Honest with them that are without. God, we need you so desperately. Bless the word. Help us all to make some application in our soul and in our spirit. Lord, in our hearts. And to walk with you in a way that's pleasing. Bless the word. Lord, as the song plays, God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Head bowed, eyes closed, music's playing. She's going to play that through a couple times. We're going to say amen and we're going to go home. Would you let the Lord speak to you? Let the Lord work in your life and be sober. Be sincere, be genuine, and see if God won't bless your life.